On the home stretch of our Friday show here on 102.5 The Game, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Predators, back-to-back wins on the two-game road trip, both in dramatic fashion. Both, I think, caused me to have a ton of anxiety as I was watching. It was an interesting perspective sitting on your couch watching the back and forth that was taking place. And Nashville got it done, and it sets the table for a big Saturday night matchup against the Golden Knights. Hal Gill, radio analyst for the Predators, right here on 102.5 The Game, joins us. Skillsy, welcome back.
Man, nice to be back in Nashville after that big long road trip to Washington and Jersey.
Yeah, that was kind of a whirlwind there, but how as you've watched the process here of John Hines putting in his system, trying to hit the refresh button, get more out of the best players, get the most out of the team as a whole, what do you see with this? Because they certainly weren't perfect in the two games, but they just found a way. They had that battle level that they needed to get the 4 points.
Yeah, well, you know what? For a lot of this year, going into, the firing and John Hines coming in, I was kind of looking around saying the defensive zone needs to be better and you need to have the top six guys start making plays. And I think the defense was better. It's still not perfect. They still have their gaps. But it's going in the right direction. And then last couple nights, guys are making plays. I mean, that's the bottom line. You have four Snipes and Deshaun. Like, Ramblin has been fantastic. I really like his game. So you got guys coming around, and they're on the top six. And that's going to find you ways to win. And so, yeah, it hurt your heart watching the Preds. It was tough. It was an emotional roller coaster. But in the end, 4 points on the road, it's pretty good. And now, you blink and they're in great position. Now they have a chance to get back in the playoffs with a win on Saturday.
I want to get you to talk a little more in detail about what you just mentioned. Mikael Granlin, right? Here's a guy in the last year of his contract. The storyline is pretty obvious that when they traded for him, he hasn't put up the big numbers in terms of goals and assists. But it was a good example last night of what impact he can have on a team. He didn't get any points, but he played 23 minutes, and he just did so much great stuff. Everywhere you looked, he was digging in there, screening the goalie, creating traffic, pressure, havoc in front of the net. He was on the penalty kill. He made a lot of great defensive plays. He has been outstanding these last few games.
Yeah, it was nice to see him killing penalties and had a great stick and forced a couple of great plays. So, you know what? When I look at him, when he's leaning, he plays well. And what I mean by leaning is when he gets the puck and he's about to make a move, he gets low and he drives. And that's when he's so effective. And he's been doing that. He's going one way, he cuts the other way. And as a defenseman, if you're trying to contain him and he gets low and he gets a push, he's just too strong and he has low center of gravity, he pushes through, it's tough to stop him. And that's what he's been doing a lot more of. I give Johansson and Duchesne a lot of credit, too, because I think you have to respect all three of those guys on that line. They're turning the table, and they're swapping his own time. They're making some cycles, and really all three guys are moving their feet. But when I see that lean from Granlin, I can tell he means business, and the last two games he's been solid.
What did you think of Duchesne on the wing, specifically with Johansson? Because that's an interesting line just from a storyline perspective as much as anything, because those are two guys that have been in the spotlight. They need to produce. They both made huge plays on this road trip, but Duchesne and Johansson together.
Yeah, you know what? I had a conversation with him before the game, and we were talking about, I think he'd rather be a centerman. That's kind of his natural position. But if he's going to be a winger, I think it's a good system. It's a little different where the first man back in the zone is going to be that low center support. So if he gets back first, he becomes that center. If Johansson gets back, he becomes that center. And even Granlin, who's played center at times, he's going to fill in that role. So I feel like they're all comfortable with playing that low position. And so it kind of takes the weight off it. There's a left and a right center, so you can match up on your draws, which is another aspect that I think he likes. But in the end, if you can find a chemistry with a good player and you can go out there and make plays, and they were good. They had to have, it was funny. There was a few times during last night's game where they're just packed in tight together. It was like three guys within 20 feet of each other, and they're just making the small little passes, a little escape plays, and then they're generating scoring chances from it with a burst to the net. So I like the way they play together. I think it's, as you know, if they stick with it and they give it some time, I think Hines is going to see that line kind of grow. And, you know, how nice was it to see Duchesne score off the rush? You know, that was
great.
That was something that we haven't seen too much of. And if you want to win games, you need goals like that. I know it's, you say, okay, the goalie might have, should have stopped that. It bounced off the defenseman, whatever it is. But that was a big goal at the time, and you need those.
We're talking with Hal Gill. Hal, I want to stick on the Ryan Johansson topic for a moment. And I think a lot of people made maybe too much of it on Monday night when he didn't see a lot of action late, only played 10 minutes, and some of the comments from John Hines after the game. One, do you think that was John Hines, the new coach, trying to send a message to Joey in the way that played out on Monday night? And two, how do you think he responded?
It's funny. The way he did it, I mean, obviously, yeah, he's sending a message. If he plays a guy like Johansson, if he only plays 10 minutes, everyone knows the message is sent. But the way he handled it, John Hines is very honest and very upfront. And if you talk to Johansson, he'd agree with him. You know, if you want to play big minutes, you got to play like the big dog, and you got to play better. And so Hines was upfront with it. He was honest with the media. He was honest with Johansson. And I think Joey kind of, you have to respect that. You know, he says you're not playing well, let's play. Well, he's the coach. He decides who's playing. So you have to respect that. But I really did like the response going into Washington, where they knew they were going to need a big game from him. He got a big goal. I think he's been good defensively all year, but you need production from a guy who's going to take up that much of your salary and who's going to take up that many minutes. You need production. So, it's nice to see it come around. And he had that jam in and around the net and played hard. So, you know, I think message was sent and message was received.
It's been very clear all year that the Predators have had a plan for their goaltenders and the way they've both played. I think they've leaned even more heavily on the system of going back and forth. But as we get down to the stretch run here, 32 games left to the finish, and you're trying to make the playoffs, is it important for one of those guys, either Pecorino or UC Saros, to really emerge and kind of become the guy, or you know, at least 1-1A out of this, as opposed to the tandem that they've done for much of the season?
Yeah, this is the kind of the funny part about it is I don't think you need a guy, but it sure would be nice if one guy just said, this is my game and I'm not giving up goals when I get my chance, so that you say it's obvious, you know, like it should. When it's not a coaching decision, that's when you know it's the right way, the right decision, where you say, all right, Pekka just had three shutouts in a row and then a one-goal game and then another one-goal game. You know, if he throws out something like that running down a stretch, then you say, all right, this guy's he wants the job and he deserves it. It gets tricky when, you know, if it's two or three goals a game and you're not really sure which one to go with and who's the hot hand. So I think they'd probably split right down to the end the way they've both played. But, you know, in the end, Pekka has a ton of experience. He's been through a lot, and I think he's your guy until someone steps up. If Saros steps up and says, it's my job, then it's his. And Pekka will know that, too. He'll say, hey, good way to go, kid. You earned it.
Hal, I want to ask you about one more guy in our final question. I got about a minute for you here. But Kyle Turris is playing a lot more in a bigger role. I see him on the penalty kill. How do you think he has adapted here to John Hines' system? He looks like he's getting a shot here to be a big factor.
Yeah, and they're using him the right way. I love him on the power play. I think he's one of the best on the team at that half-ball position. He's looking for high tips to Smith. He's looking for quick plays. He had the quick back-and-forth with Forsberg that allowed that pass over to Granlund in Washington. Just smart plays, just quick. He's not thinking. And then, defensively, he knows what penalty power plays are looking for, and so when he's on the penalty kill, he really can anticipate the play and knows where to be. So, he's grinding, too. He's not messing around. He's in on the forecheck. He got a penalty the other night because I didn't even like it, but he was heavy on the forecheck. I'll take that. I like that when he's going like that, and he can make plays. So I think you need him involved, and Hines has done a good job integrating him and getting him involved because, he was in the doghouse for a long time with Laviolette. So a nice revival for him.
Hal, we will see you tomorrow night at the arena. Actually, I'll see you in the morning, I think. But one way or the other, Predators and the Golden Knights, welcome back. Thanks for your insight.
Yeah, about time you get back to work, Willie.
Yeah, really. I've been on the boondoggle here. I've just been hanging out, doing nothing here, just watching middle school basketball and enjoying myself here. I will get back to work.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
Yeah. So for Mace and I and Kara and Lindsay, for that matter, we've had one game in 2 weeks.
Almost
pretty
two weeks,
much. Yeah, one call of a game. So
welcome back.
I got to rev the batteries back up. Yeah, my week is over. All right, here we go. All right, everybody enjoy what's coming up next. We've got the Jared and the GM show. Robbie Stanley is in the backdrop. He will be hosting with Floyd today, getting you ready for the Super Bowl. Steve, thanks for coming in.
You bet.
All right, Steve Lamon, News Channel 5. Hope you enjoyed the show. Elijah, we'll talk to you later. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can.